the public inquiry into a flawed green energy scheme, it's RHI basically, kicked off on Tuesday. The retired appeal court judge, Sir Patrick Colgan, opened the RHI inquiry at Stormont. In the coming months, it'll hear from many, including the former First Minister, Arlene Foster. The newsletter's Sam McBride has been following the inquiry. Sam, good morning to you. So what have we heard this week that is of interest?
Good morning, Stephen. We've heard lots of evidence, I think much more than some of us expected to hear in this opening statement from David Schofield QC, who is counsel for the inquiry. We expected him to go through a lot of the background to the scheme, to set out the chronology, a lot of what we already know. But actually what he has done is really opened a lot of the key bits of evidence. There are over a million pages of documentary evidence which the inquiry has been gathering over the spring and summer months of this year, and also about 200 witness statements from key figures, from Arlene Foster right the way down to very junior civil servants and people outside the public sector, as to what their role was and what they did with this scheme. Yesterday, I think we saw the most explosive evidence in this entire process, really. Several pieces of information which are really jaw-dropping. I think there is one caveat which we should set out right at the very outset, and that is that this is quite a difficult process for us as journalists to report, because it's not the traditional situation where there's a very serious allegation about someone and then we're able to put that to that person and get their response. This is something where the judge, Sir Patrick Coughlin, has made very clear to witnesses and to the media that he doesn't want people speaking outside the inquiry in response to evidence or allegations against them. So from the perspective of somebody like Arlene Foster, Jonathan Bell, people who are going to be called very late in this process, that almost leaves them at a disadvantage where they have to wait, I suppose, to get their say. Nevertheless, what we heard yesterday, I think one of the most significant aspects of it was that Arlene Foster's special advisor, when she was the finance minister in 2015, at the point when the scheme was really running out of control and the civil service were desperately trying to find ways to rein it in, he sent a email to his DUP SPAD colleague at the Department for Enterprise, the department which ran the scheme, Arlene Foster's old department. The SPAD who he sent that to was Timothy Kearns. And in the email, Andrew Crawford, Arlene Foster's advisor, basically seemed to be asking, what is the problem with this? I'll just quote exactly what he said. He wrote, I'm a little confused over what the problem is for the non-domestic scheme. The scheme is being funded from AMI, that is money directly from London, and not out of Stormont's block grant. He then went on to say, therefore, if we go over our 4% target, all that will happen is that we will get more than our fair share of the UK pot. I would have thought that is to Northern Ireland's advantage. Now, that, in the context of what we now know, seems extraordinary, but it also is quite revelatory, because it seems to suggest that the highest levels within government, there was at that very late stage a belief that not only was this money coming directly from London and therefore it wouldn't impact on health or education or any of the other issues which it now will impact on, but that they thought that was okay.
Sam, if you can, stay there for me, because I want to just pick up with some of the other details from the inquiry. This is very important stuff after the news. We'll be straight back to Sam. Right, let's come back to the newsletters, Sam McBride, this morning. The front page of the newsletter today, shock RHI revelations. And of course, Sam, just before we continue, if we think about the momentum and the level of public interest that there was in the RHI scandal of last year, I don't think anybody disagrees that it was a scandal. Obviously, people see it from different perspectives. And here we have this inquiry now with very significant revelations, as you say, at the beginning.
That's right. And I mean, just taking you through some of the other things which came out yesterday, which on their own would be absolutely extraordinary. I mean, we were told that Arlene Foster, while the finance minister in 2015, at this point where they were trying to bring in cost controls, she intervened at the last minute in an attempt on behalf of a constituent to try to delay those cost controls for a week or two. Now, she doesn't dispute this, it would seem, from what was said to the inquiry yesterday.
But at that stage, she did not know that the scheme was going into an overrun, correct?
Well, I think it was very clear to people in government at that point that the scheme was going into an overrun. She was finance minister, so I mean, I think we can expect that she had some understanding of that. She probably did not have a full understanding of that. But what has to be said, and what's very important in this, is that that didn't have any material impact on the overspend, because once the word came back from the permanent secretary of her old department, Andrew McCormick, that really this was not something he would even think about, that he would have to be ordered by his minister, Jonathan Bell, to do this because he couldn't justify it in terms of public spending. She very quickly accepted that, and therefore there actually was no delay. But nevertheless, at that late point, she was trying to see if the scheme could be kept open without cost controls for another couple of weeks. Another aspect of this, which is very significant, is that her special advisor, Andrew Crawford, who we were speaking about earlier in a separate context, he passed on quite sensitive information about the looming cost controls to some of his relatives, one of whom was in the scheme and one of whom the inquiry suggested might have joined the scheme but seemingly did not ultimately join the scheme. He, again, does not dispute that he passed this email on. I think one of them, the inquiry was told, seems to be a ministerial submission, actually, so something which is really handled with quite a degree of confidentiality within government. But he is very clear that those people already knew that cost controls were coming because, for whatever reason, the word was out on the street at that point that cost controls were coming. So lots of questions for lots of people, and they will all get a chance to have their say as the months go on.
I think, Sam, one of the questions the public may therefore have, when you've mentioned what Arlene Foster tried to do there, tried to delay cost controls for one constituent, and you explained the context, I think the public might have a question as to, when RHI was top of the news agenda day in, day out, and Arlene Foster was being asked about it, why did she not disclose this regarding Andrew Crawford? When the DUP were being asked about this and they were giving statement after statement, why did they not disclose this?
That's right. And I think it should be remembered that Andrew Crawford, I think, was the only person within the DUP who ultimately fell on his sword in January prior to the collapse of devolution. And at that point, he was very clear that he did not think he had done anything wrong and that he believed that the inquiry process would clear his name. So we will get to hear from him. We'll get to hear from Arlene Foster. And there is this tension in this between us being able to report on what actually happened. And it's clearly very significant on the face of it, but not getting quite the full story and getting part of the story. And it's almost this unfolding tapestry where we're getting little pieces of the jigsaw, if I can mix my metaphors, as the months go on.
OK. Sam McBride, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.